All right, let's bow our heads. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for another day, Lord, that we woke up and able to come to church and just pray for those who aren't able to be here. Pray for those traveling, Brother Wade, Brother Bob, their families. Just pray for the ministry upstairs, Lord, Brother Aaron and Brother Luis, Lord. Just anoint them and anoint me as well, Lord, to speak and say the right things, Lord. And just pray for us all, Lord, as we journey through, Lord, and go through things, and just lead us and guide us in all things. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. So, let's go to Psalm 27, and let's go to verse 6. Verse 6 says, "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies about me." So, some of you weren't here last time, but for those who were here last time, who do we say were David's enemies? You remember? No. Abby, you don't remember?
No.
Okay. Well, we read the scripture in Ephesians 6 that says we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities. And we talked about how David's enemies were spiritual. They weren't, our enemies on this earth aren't people. Our enemies are spiritual, and that's who we're fighting. And that's what we're against, because the people who we don't get along with, the people who annoy us or we have trouble with, those aren't our enemies. It's the spiritual influence that they're under. You know, like we say, we love the sinner but hate the sin, and that's what we're really fighting against. So we're not against people. And as I said, the enemies David had are our enemies as well, because David wrestled with, you know, many things like fear. He wrestled with, you know, lust and Bathsheba. He wrestled with doubt and anger and all, many things, you know, that just come in life, and he wrestled with those things, and those are the same things that we wrestle with as well. So then, what does David mean in verse 6 when he says that? When he said, "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me." What does that mean? Any guesses? Thomas? No? Okay. Well, David is basically speaking of overcoming. And that's basically what he's talking about when he says, "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me." So in this verse, he's speaking of overcoming his enemies. And as we, this last time we discussed, we went to, you know, let's just turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and just a little bit of a review. Ephesians chapter 6, which is where we were last time. You there? Okay. So Ephesians chapter 6, let's go to verse 11. That's what we read last time. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So as we said last time, our enemies are not flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness is our enemies. And as we discussed last time, the way we overcome our enemies is in verse 11, where it says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the way we overcome our enemies is by putting on the armor of God, you know, studying scriptures and arming yourself with the word. So now I have another question for y'all. As we turn back to Psalms 27. Once you get overcoming power, what should you do and how should you act?
Like the one who overcomes.
Say again?
Like the one who overcomes.
Like the one who overcomes. How do they act? Yeah, that's good, that's good. Well, in Psalms 27, verse 6, when David overcomes, he says, and now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. So David was surrounded by enemies, but he's a follower of God, and he stuck to the word, and his head was lifted up. He overcame the obstacles and the trials that were before him. And the next part of the verse will let us know how he acts when he overcomes. He says, therefore will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. So when David overcame, he sang, he wanted to praise and worship, and he wanted to glorify God for, you know, what God had done for him. He just wanted to rejoice and offer up sacrifices of joy unto the Lord. So I think it's good as Christians, if, you know, we go through something and the Lord brings us through something, that we just rejoice, and it doesn't always have to be singing, but it just to be grateful and continuously be thankful for what, you know, God has done for us, especially when we overcome and we go through things and he brings us through them or he answers our prayers. And it's good to offer sacrifices of joy and just praise the Lord. So on to verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Now, there's a lot of times when we may be trying to explain something or we're talking about someone, talking to someone, I mean, and they're not really listening, or they just can't seem to understand us. But God hears you when you cry, and he understands, and he will answer you with mercy, which is what David is asking for in this verse. When he says, you know, have mercy also upon me and answer me. Now, verse 8. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now, what do you guys think is happening in this verse? What's David saying in this verse? When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. What do you think that means?
I'm trying to word my thought.
Say again?
I'm trying to word my thought.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think about how to say it.
When thou saidst, seek ye my face. The Lord said, seek ye my face. David says, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So what is David saying in that verse that he's going to do?
Seek after God's face.
Yes, he's saying that. But mainly what I'm trying to get to is that he's pledging his obedience to God's word. He's saying, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So David's saying, Lord, if you say something, I'm going to do it. You know, this scripture, this verse really speaks of obedience, and David really wants to be in a complete submission to the Lord. David is saying, You know, God, if you tell me to do something, I'll do it. And look. And look at where, like, David accepts the word in this verse. He says, my heart said unto thee, thy faith, Lord, will I seek. So he accepts God's command in his heart, you know, in the deepest part of him. He wants to, his deepest desire, like it says in, like we read in verse 4, one thing have I desired, to inquire in his temple. So also in verse 6, he's saying, my heart is saying unto thee, thy faith, Lord, will I seek. You know, and some people might not want to completely submit. You know, there's that saying, you know, some people say, you know, don't ask for permission, ask for forgiveness. And which basically means, you know, do what you want to do or do what you think is best. And if, you know, something goes wrong, you can just apologize for it or just brush it off or, you know, deal with it later if something's off about it. But the attitude doesn't apply to the word. The Bible actually says to obey is better than sacrifice. So let's turn to that scripture, which is 1 Samuel chapter 15. Just before. It's before Kings, after Ruth. First Samuel 15. We got it? Okay. First Samuel 15. Verse 20. Let's start at verse 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. So what's happening here is Saul has been told to destroy everything, but he's saying that, you know, he has a better idea, and he takes the best of the spoils and sacrifices them to the Lord, and he truly believes that's a good thing. Because he's saying, you know, why should all this go to waste? He's like, you know, we can sacrifice this to the Lord. So it says, you know, take the chief, and have utterly destroyed. He said, take the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. So he's destroyed some of it, but he's saying, well, some of this stuff is really good, and we could sacrifice this, and we could give this to the Lord, and it would be such a great, you know, thing that we could do this. And he truly believes he's doing a good thing. But what does Samuel say about that? So let's go to verse 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? So you can, in our lives, you know, we can offer up sacrifices, and we can sing in church, and we can, you know, listen to sermons, and we can do good things that may seem holy, but what God really cares about is if you're obeying the word. You know, we can come to church and we can hear the word, but if you just hear the word and don't obey the word, and you don't obey what's being said, then you'll never truly or be able to satisfy God. God delights in your sacrifices, but his greatest delight is in your obedience to his voice, which is expressed in his word. Because like Samuel said, verse 22, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings as in obeying the voice of the Lord? I'm actually going to pull a quote from Brother Branham from the exposition of the seven church ages for the Smyrnian church age. Brother Branham says, and no true believer is any stronger and spiritually healthy and alive than his knowledge of and adherence to the pure word of God as seen by multitudes of examples in the Old Testament. And I think that's a really, really powerful quote. He said, no true believer is any stronger and spiritually healthy and alive than his knowledge of and adherence to the pure word of God. As seen by the, then he talks, he said there's multitudes of examples in the Old Testament. And Saul is one of them. Because after this, Samuel even says, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, which stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. So, like Brother Branham said, you know, like, you have to be in the will of God and be obeying God. And as soon as Saul, you know, stopped obeying God and thought, you know, he had a better idea, like, I can do this better, Samuel says he has rejected thee from being king. So, he got out of position in God, and, you know, God took him out of his position. So it's obedience that the Lord, you know, delights in, and that's what we really need to focus on in our lives is obedience. So, yeah, like I'm saying, you can offer up sacrifices, but what we really need to do is obey. Samuel says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So what does it mean to hearken? Does anyone know?
Sort of.
Well, the hearken means mainly to listen.
Oh, yes.
Because in this specific example, Saul has, you know, he's brought the chief of the things that were meant to be utterly destroyed, and then he's then sacrificed them, and is like, well, these things were really nice, and we sacrificed to the Lord. But Samuel says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So it's better to listen to what God is saying than to try and sacrifice and praise, and you can come to church and you can do all these things. But if you're not obeying the word, you know, the way that it's laid out in the scriptures, then you're out of your place. And like I said, God will take you out of your place the way he did Saul. And we should live being aware of that, and if we truly want to obey the word and please, if our goal truly is to please God, then we have to obey him. Because it says he delights in that. And I'll just reread the quote for you, Levi, since you just got here. But it's a quote.
I'm sorry, but life happens.
Yeah, life happens. But the quote is from the Exposition of the Seven Church Ages for the Smyrnian Church Age. Brother Branham says, and no true believer is any stronger and spiritually healthy and alive than his knowledge of and adherence to the pure word of God, as seen by multitudes of examples in the Old Testament. So the Saul and Samuel is one of those examples that, you know, Brother Branham was talking about, that, you know, we are going to be performing at our best and doing our best when we're in the will of God and obeying his word. You know, and that's what's really going to please God. And in the scripture, it says that's what God delights in that. That's what we really need to focus on. And actually, I'll just tell you a little story. There's one of my coworkers who happens to be gay. And, you know, he knows what I believe in. And he's open to talk to me about it. But then one time he asked me, he's like, do you think I'm going to hell because I'm gay? And I told him that, well, it's really less about you being gay and it's more about you being an unbeliever. Because you could be straight, and the straight person could also be going to hell, or you could be rich, you can go to hell, you can go be poor and go to hell, but really what's stopping you from really, you know, going on spiritually is you being an unbeliever. So you know, you could be in church every week, you could be doing these things, you could, you know, all like you said, sacrifices and, you know, offering up sacrifices to the Lord and doing all these things. But what God is really going to look at is your obedience to the word. So it's not like you can say, oh, that person's that, so they're going to hell, or that person's that, or they're going to. Really, it's about believing in the word and being in obedience to the word. So let's go back to that's good, because that's what we talked about the one time, was we were talking about how sin really is unbelief. And those other things are just manifestations of unbelief. So even, you know, things like sexuality or like people smoking or drinking, those are manifestations of unbelief. But the only one true sin is unbelief. So that's what we really need to focus on in becoming better believers and becoming more sincere with how we approach the word. So let's go back to Psalms 27. Are we all there? Okay. So David's saying, you know, now shall my head be lifted, this is verse 6, now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies. So we know who our enemies are. It's the spiritual wickedness of this world. It's not people. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. And I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. So we know that, you know, if we overcome and that if we get the victory, we should thank the Lord for it and we should rejoice and, you know, just praise him in our own way. In verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. And he will. If you come sincerely and you come, you know, believing and seeking a true answer and seek the word diligently, you know, he will answer you. And now we're on verse 8. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So we just covered that in the story of, you know, Samuel and Saul wanting to sacrifice these things, and Samuel saying, no, the Lord delights in obedience. You know, and Samuel as a prophet, he has to tell the people the will of God. And he's like, you have to be obedient to God and not just, you know, thinking you have an idea. Because that's really how things become denominations, is when people, there's people who mean to do well. There's like, you know, there's people who, like, I don't know if you guys know about like the prosperity gospel and all those things, and or people in other denominations where they believe, but they've accepted this idea that, you know, the person at their church, or they have this idea that, you know, we can't trust this or that in the word, or only my church is right, or these things. There's plenty of denominations, but those things denominate because people add their own ideas to the scripture. And the Bible says, don't add or take away. So when you add your own ideas or your own thoughts to the scripture, that's you're denominating off of the word. And that's what's going on with Saul. He had his own idea that, honestly, humanly, it sounds good. It sounds like, hey, why not, you know, get the best of the chief of the things that were meant to be utterly destroyed. Let's get the best of the best that we got from, you know, conquering this place and sacrifice it to the Lord. But that's not what God said. And, you know, we might not always understand what God's saying or why he's saying that, but we need to be obedient nonetheless. So, yes, verse 8, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So, we're going to about to leave, but I want to leave you with this question, and hopefully you guys can get this out to the people who weren't here. But my question is, why does he say, seek ye my face? Does anyone maybe have an answer to that question? Why does he say, seek ye my face in that scripture? No answers. Okay. Y'all dismissed. But think about that for next week.